Good. Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome everyone here to the Shambhala Meditation Center of New York. We're especially pleased and honored to welcome the Sakyong and the Sakyong Wangmo here today. And we are being broadcast live online into Shambhala centers worldwide, where people are gathered to commemorate the 22nd parinirvana of the Vidyadhara, and also to hear this public address with the Sakyong. So we just wanted to express our heartfelt gratitude to you for joining us today. We are honored to be hosting a Shambhala online address from New York. And I think I speak for everyone in this room when I say we're thrilled that of all the places in the world, you choose New York City to take a break and relax. Maybe you can give us some tips on how you do it. But this is a very special day. Of course, we're honoring the Vidyadhara on this 22nd parinirvana. And also, we're all saddened by the recent passing of His Holiness Pema Rinpoche. And again, just so grateful that, Sakyong, you could be here with us and speak to the community. And welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
So thank you, everyone. And it is delightful to be back in North America, and in particular today to be here in New York City with my wife, Candace Young, and we've just spent, I think it's 4 months in India, where we were at the monastery of the Rinpo family and receiving the very important transmission and teaching of the Rinchen Terzu, and I think many of you are aware of that. And it was, for myself, something that I wanted to do for, I would say, almost my entire life, because it was a major transmission that the Vijayadara held, and it was one of the major transmissions that the Vijayadara gave to Kondrasan's father upon their escape from Tibet. So one of the key elements of this particular teaching is the Dharma, or sort of the hidden teachings that existed and all the wisdom that existed in Tibet. And for myself, it was very powerful to be there and to be able to hear one generation of teaching after another. And basically, it is, you could say, the download of the entire Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So in four months, so I'm not sure if I'd recommend it for everyone, but for myself, it was good. It was very good. It was very long days, and we practiced basically from morning to evening, and the schedule was very regular and very, very rich and very trying, I would say, in terms of just maintaining one's energy. And as everyone knows, the time that I was gone was a very dramatic time here and in the world in terms of the economy and in terms of what's going on. And for one day we had a short break, and I was able to see a glimpse of the TV station that was in the house, and somehow it flashed before me that Citibank had just gone down. And I was between these two worlds. And one world was very ancient, and one world is very modern, very right now. And it struck me in terms of, this is kind of who we are and what we are, all of us here. We have this ancient wisdom. At the same time, we're living in this particular time right now. And what is it that we can take from this tradition? What is it that we are going to practice? And what is it that we are going to manifest? And one of the things that really struck me, and in particular why I wanted to come back here today and, I would say, remember and honor the Vajradhara is that he took all this wisdom, and if you can think about how difficult it must have been to take this wisdom and try to synthesize it into a format that's understandable, and it's and to take it and not lose heart, having lost it all, and come here and be very courageous and brave and transmit it. And I would say that also this generation of practitioners that my father represented, you know, there's right now with the passing of His Holiness Panna Rinpoche, it's sort of the coming to the end of that period of generation. And obviously for myself, it was very, very, you know, devastating and sad, and also for Kandrila. Her family was very close to His Holiness. And I felt like, you know, in particular today, that myself just trying to remember within the community these particular individuals and teachers and warriors. And what I wanted to communicate during that whole period and what I was thinking about. And when I was there, I was actually, I found myself in my discursiveness thinking about all of you and thinking about, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to go forward? And how is it that we're going to make our life meaningful? And we have so much wisdom at our fingertips. And we have such a rich tradition. And what is it that we are doing within our own community in Shambhala? And so I actually, at the end of it, felt very inspired to come back and felt reinvigorated. And in terms of the level of inspiration, I felt like what we need to do is more hard work. So, you know, I wish I could come back and say I found the trick. You know, thousands upon thousands of texts, there was a trick. And, you know, somewhere along the line it was missed. But I bought it in a little box, and I'm going to give it to you guys today. But it struck me, and especially with both the Vajradhara and Panna Rinpoche, what made them who they are and who they were was hard work. And the Vajradhara came here essentially on his own, you know, without the support of his culture, and he came here very much as an individual representing such a rich tradition and trying to figure out how to express it. But he worked individual by individual, he worked day to day, and he worked with all of us. And he taught us how literally to follow each breath while our minds were very wild. And he spread the Dharma here and began to propagate kind of a notion of decency in Shambhala. But it was arduous and it was relentless, I would say. And he was relentless. And luckily for us, he was. He transmitted something here. And even though we are generally a lay community, we are mostly, by and large, now even though there's different traditions practicing, different ethnic groups, we are by and large a Western group, but it is now spreading and different people are practicing. But when he came here, it was not a monastic community, it was not people in robes as such, but he worked hard. And one of the things that is very similar in story-wise is Panna Rinpoche. He arrived in South India, you know, and the monks there love to tell the story, with only 800 rupees and 6 monks. And I just visited there, and they have over 4,000 monks and 700 nuns. It's the largest nunnery in the world now. His Holiness the Dalai Lama just visited and asked how many nuns there were, and, you know, and they said quite proudly, "No, we have 700." And he again went down there, and when people passed away in the local villages, they didn't have enough money, and he was the first person to get a bicycle. And he would ride on his bicycle in the hot sun to give teaching and to help somebody who was sick. So, you know, I think for us, in a sense that we have a lot, but a lot of this comes from individuals that have worked very hard. And one of the things that I think in this particular time, especially now with sort of the instability, you know, we want to see how to help and what to do. And I feel that this particular transmission of hard work and no quick fix is actually a transmission. So you can actually listen to, as I did the last few months, sometimes within one day you receive 15 different lineage transmissions, each one talking about the highest level of tantric practices. But it's like Milarepa giving the final transmission and lifting up his robe and showing his rear end. You know, that was the final transmission. And showing his behind and showing the calluses, saying that's the final transmission. Even if you are the most gifted. And for us, I think, you know, there's a tendency here, and what I feel like in this particular time, even though we are struggling with the notion of wealth, wealth is disappearing. But for us, it is a time of richness in terms of practice. We have to really look, and the Dharma teaches us, and the teachings teach us that we are responsible for our own actions. That the world we are creating is a product of our own action. And I see nowadays, in terms of, you know, the blame game, who's responsible for what. But for us, I think living in a world, and in the Shambhala language, the transmission is the notion of drala. You know, there's an external energy, and the notion of drala is actually looking at the interdependence of everything. That the world is actually constantly communicating with us, and if we can slow our minds down a little bit, we can see those signals constantly. And that means monetarily, what we should and shouldn't be doing, emotionally, family, everything. So we're coming at a particular time where it is rich in Dharma, in that we are paying the cost, karmically, all of us, of our mutual kind of interdependence. And one of the sort of main teachings that the Dorje Drala gave in terms of society is that each of us are a member of that society, and each of us must have a confidence to be able to do fully and participate fully at whatever level we can. A lot of times within the practice tradition, you know, we have a sense of what we know internally, kind of our secret element internally. But we're also coming to a time where our conduct is important. How we express that. And I see that, you know, this is very rich tradition, and I see that it will be, unless we pay attention, eroded. The quality of our spiritual practice will be eroded, and the quality and fabric of our community will be eroded, unless we participate in that. That's the transmission in that particular way. And we're talking about the notion of how to have actually a pure spirituality. How to actually be a genuine spiritual individual in this particular time and age. And that takes constant maintenance, I feel. I don't want, you know, even though at least in my heart, I know a lot of people weren't aware of Panaramshe, but I feel like he actually played a very key role in terms of our community, directly or indirectly. He obviously empowered myself as the Sakyong. He last year empowered Khandu Seyang that way. And but I don't want today to be particularly, it's sad on one hand, but I want it to be a day of remembering and gratitude. And I think also here today, we are trying to remember and to have a level of gratitude for the Vijayadhara, for the Dorje Drala. And I feel that, you know, the way we are as practitioners of meditation, practitioners of Buddha Dharma, you know, death is a very interesting message constantly. And when a very important figure like this passes away, we are actually, you know, taught in our own meditation that we're actually supposed to contemplate, in terms of the four reminders, the notion of impermanence. We're actually supposed to contemplate that we're all going to pass away. And one of the very powerful contemplations is saying, even the most powerful people in the world are going to pass away. Even the great spiritual beings are going to pass away. So when that actually occurs, it's a very, very kind of hard message. And I find myself, even though it was occurring, it was very hard to take in and believe. But when that does occur, it makes you immediately reflect and saying, to see how that person lived their life. I remember I was doing a retreat at the monastery, and I was doing a retreat in the apartment next to His Holiness's own house, and it was a more or less very isolated retreat. And then one night I got a message from his attendant and said, please come down, Rinpoche would like to have dinner. And I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea. I hadn't had a good meal in a while. And he eats very simply, but when he hosts dinner, he makes sure it's really good. So we went down and had dinner. And he leans over and says to me, this is a abbreviated version, still working out, because I had just bought some weights, because I was basically in this room all day. So some of the other lamas were teasing me, you know, you have weights and this kind of thing, thinking it was somehow maybe not kosher. Still working out. Can't lie at that moment. And I go, yeah, I'm still working out. Can't you tell? And remember, he leaned over and had a big smile. He was good. You have to be strong. He said, you have a lot to do. And he was strong himself. And he promoted that kind of, purity of intent, I guess I would say. And then when he empowered Khandrul Sang this last year, he made a big effort to come to Halifax. And now, in retrospect, we realize how ill he was. But I would just like to have a moment, I think internationally with everyone in our community, just of remembrance and gratitude. I think this is remembering the notion of teacher and gratitude. So we can just we do a group wherever you are, and if you are listening at a center, please take meditation posture and good bright and strong posture. Even though there's a lot of difficulty, and Vedan is Gadin, getting the kindness of people trying, so for them to actually try to communicate and to teach. The practice is basically recalling and remembering the kindness of the teacher, us individually or generally, finding the space to practice. One of the points and aspects of teacher that we ask for teachings and receive teaching guidance. The role of a student is to fulfill those instructions. So even though it is very simple, if there's any particular kind of instruction, mind practicing angry or fearful, fill those wishes, or we try to rouse the confidence and promise, vow to fulfill. And on this particular Parinirvana day, also draw inspiration, reflecting on the practitioners that have gone before us, the great warriors, live well in their footsteps. Additionally, it is the ability of the Sangha to gather and to acknowledge these particular days, hear the teachings, And also to have the day be turning point to further dedicate ourselves. As we gather at this particular moment in time all over the world, for some of you it's earlier in the day. Here in Europe we do, so for those of you who are in Europe, it's the evening, but I like that the world is a big place on the one hand, at the same time it is a blue and white sphere floating in space. We're all trying to live our life as best as we can together at this particular moment to remember and recall the lives of great beings. We open our hearts and have a level of appreciation and gratitude. It's important to be present, not to be seduced into our mind, but to appreciate the fact that we are alive, having a very precious opportunity. We have the opportunity to also help the world. We can help the world by developing courage, not letting fear, uncertainty begin to. Great teachers clearly dedicated their lives for us, really. Give up their personal space and time. As we show a level of gratitude, stop planning and scheduling. And maybe as we conclude our practice, we'll bring to mind the great richness and benefit that we have and dedicate our accomplishment for the benefit of all.
Defeat the enemy, wrongdoing, from the starry ways of Urkul, the age, sickness and death, from the ocean of samsara, may I free all beings. By the confidence of the golden sun of the great east, may the lotus fountain of wisdom bloom. May the dark ignorance of sentient beings be dissolved. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory.
Bring the dedication of merit to mind. And then, so thank you, everyone. I'm not sure if... Can they see me? Yeah. So thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in and gathering today. It was very short notice. And I'm delighted that we could meet at this particular time. And even though I told you not to plan, I do look forward to seeing many of you at the programs this summer. And one program that I'm particularly happy that's finally beginning is the Sangha Retreat, which is going to be happening at Shambhala Mountain Center and also at and it's basically an opportunity for our entire kind of community to be together for a week and practice, and there'll be teaching, but it's really an opportunity for everyone at whatever level to gather together. And this is something that I've been hoping for and is finally happening, so please, those of you who can make it, please come. Us to communicate and us just to be together. And obviously, for those of you who are doing the Vajrayana practices, there's going to be the various assemblies at the various centers. Again, look forward to doing, and it's a very important time and particular degree. And it seems very appropriate that it is fulfilling and bringing forth the teachings Dorje Dodo taught many years ago, and for us to understand. And I think, most of all, I would just encourage everyone to practice and to engage in whatever kind of practice that you are doing. And to for us to realize together, basically, that this is a very precious energy. And part of what's, I think, happening here is us having that time in the day where we can break free very assiduous and tactile octopus-like nature of samsara, where constantly it's just grabbing us. I mentioned planning because we had obviously some people from Shambhala and some other people doing this last retreat. And obviously we all have to plan, we have to schedule things. If you are going to schedule something, schedule practice. Because that's the one time you can actually break free from that planning. And it's just the way the human mind works. As soon as you start planning, then you start worrying. And we have to have an opportunity to break free a little bit and trust ourselves, because as soon as we have that opportunity, it comes forth. Natural sanity and strength of the mind comes forth. And the teachers that we have been trying to try everything, really. The 84,000 dharmas is trying everything, obviously. And some teachers go, I think I got another good angle. And they write a book or teach a lot on it. And a few of us get that angle. Another teacher comes up with another angle and says, oh, this is a good idea. But whatever it is something that we're going to have to participate ourselves in. And we talk about enlightened society. And what it is us realizing that it is that level of us waking up and participating, saying something, doing something, that is the beginning of that waking the world up. And I think now, you know, there's a freak out happening. At the same time, there's an openness happening. And I'm sure in a certain cycle, we'll kind of forget about this. People are hoping, at least. But for us, it's an important message to look at the illusory, fleeting nature of things. And that does not mean that we become out of it. Teachings teach us that life is fluid and constantly the world is our teacher, pulling the rug out. And we need to be able to take that and internalize it. So from the bottom of my heart, I send my love and to everyone who's watching and listening at this time, and though send my love and condolences to the many, many thousands of monks right now who are in mourning, and many, many of the who, you know, he was Panarabhicha was a great figure in the world. So for them, I heavy heart to them, and for us to go forward and to give up.
On behalf of the Shambhala community here in New York and the International Shambhala Sangha, represented by over 60 Shambhala centers who have joined us today online, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for addressing us and for sharing your encouragement and your brilliance and your courage. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.